is a product of Impact International School of Ministry, 3516 South Broad Place, Huntsville, Alabama, 35805. Duplication of this tape is a violation of the tape loan agreement. Please run the tape fast forward to the end when completed. Thank you.
Okay, I'm ready. Okay, chapel. The purpose of chapel is to set your intentions for the day. That means that you're going to say what is true about God and begin to get your heart and your mind lined up first thing in the morning. Number two, connect your heart to your heart and allow Jesus to abide in your heart. Number three, we want to establish your self-worth and persuade your heart that you are the righteousness of Jesus. Number four, to deepen your worship to God and to experience living in the now. I would say that that is the greatest hurdle to overcome, is learning to experience the now, learning to keep your heart open in the midst of all trouble. When you meet with people, when you meet with God, when you're relating, to just allow your heart to begin to stay present and open. And that's what I hope the result of everything that we do will be, is that your heart, well, it will be naturally opened. Okay, class requirements, a prayer organizer. One of these. You can get them in the bookstore. You must have one of these, and you have to bring it every day because you won't ever know what I'm going to do. And I would encourage you to look it over, get familiar with it. There's different sections. I would... we'll go through, we'll hit highlights of specific subjects, one of them being forgiveness, and bring it. And I also would encourage you to get paper. You know, when I got this, I never wanted to write on the lines that they gave you, but once I got paper, I was okay. And it's a really good idea to keep track of what you're praying for so that you can be encouraged by the end of the year. You'll be surprised where you'll move from September to May. Okay, and a heart of participation. You guys, this is such an opportunity. I know probably some of the older people here, it's the biggest treat to have an hour where you have to do chapel, because it's always the fight. You know, raising kids is to, you know, spend time with God. So this is such a gift to be able to have 45 minutes to do this. Okay, everything God does is done through the heart. You, I want you to say that. I am not an exception. Yes. All learning in this school is designed to challenge the beliefs in your heart by studying and experiencing the truth of God's Word. It says in Proverbs 4:23 that out of our heart comes the issues of life. Whatever your dream is, this school will give you an opportunity to develop a foundation within yourself that is motivated by love and not fear. And that is a powerful, powerful transition. It is the key to all that you will do is to be motivated by love. Knowledge does not heal. Jesus heals. If you attempt to relate to God through information, it will produce bitterness towards God. To be honest with ourselves, we must admit that we all have trouble with relationships now and then. Because God is invisible, we attempt to fool others and ourselves. The veil was torn so you could have relationship, worship, and be given a self-worth that would cause the love of God to be expressed through you and to the world. Now think about that for a minute, you guys. That's incredible. The veil was torn so you could have relationship. We teach that the heart is what psychologists call the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind directs our actions and decision making. Without any conscious thought or effort. Therefore, our heart is a product of beliefs in our heart. And if we are to walk in a manner which is worthy and pleasing to God, it can only happen through the transparency of your heart. Remember, in the first line, I said, you are not an exception. You are not an exception. Okay, how do we persuade our heart? Through personal, positive, and present tense affirmations that are consistent with the finished work of Jesus. That's where the prayer organizer comes in. I hope that you don't only do this in chapel. I hope that you do this at night before you go to bed. Even if you take 10 minutes, I hope that you just find some of the scriptures that mean a lot to you so that you bring them to memory so that you can always bring them up. We have already been given everything we need in Jesus. And this is not a time to beg God. It is a time to humble ourselves and agree with God's opinion towards us. I want you to learn how to be sensitive as you read through the prayer organizer. I want you to make your proclamations believable to your heart. And I want you to be aware of your body, your thoughts, your feelings, and your reactions. In other words, I do not want you to say, I am the righteousness of God. I am the head and not the tail. I want you to fully engage. When people come in for counseling, I tell them to listen with their mind, with their heart, with their body. Tell me what they feel. Tell me what they think they see, what they sort of get a sense of, what they don't think they get a sense of. I want with your whole being. Well, if you do that with the prayer organizer, you'll go into a realm of being connected to God that you can't possibly go in just by going, I am the righteousness of God. And so sometimes you have to say loudly, 20 lines there, loudly and with great expression, a particular affirmation over and over to your heart. Example. you can just start from a place. I thank you, Lord, that there is a powerful move of the Spirit within me. God, I thank you that there is an incredible move of the Spirit within my heart. I thank you, Lord, that there's a powerful move of the Spirit within my family, within my church, within my city. And you just build and you build and you begin to convince your heart that there is a powerful move of the Spirit. And then you can go right into, I thank you that there is revival in my heart. I thank you that revival is pouring forth in my family. Because I am a daughter, I am led by the Spirit. And because I am led by the Spirit, you are a lamp unto my feet. And you just go on and on. And you just persuade your heart with all that you are. Other times, you may want to speak with mercy and kindness to your heart, calling out to know the love of God. And sometimes you just have to talk so intimate to yourself and so tender, convincing your heart that about God's love. You know, never think that when you come out of chapel, you come out and you're high and you just have had a great experience, and other times, you know, it's kind of like exercising. It's like, I know I went and exercised for an hour, but I don't feel like I did. But, you know, whatever you sow, if you sow a seed, you reap a tree. So everything that you do with your heart is going to, you know, everything grows in the kingdom of God. So be excited for that and expect that. Okay, number two, our heart does not distinguish between clear, strong, believable imagination and reality, because both produce the same emotion. Strong emotions affect the heart, as can certain events that happen in dreams. In other words, you know, when you have a dream and you've been chased all night and in that fear, well, your heart doesn't know that that's not real, because you wake up and your heart's doing that. Colossians speaks about setting our affections on things above. This is referring to our imaginations. When we speak the truth and we imagine it in our mind, it has a strong influence on the heart. That influence or persuasion brings about believing. As you worship, you will see and experience the things you sing and say. So, you know, sometimes we'll be doing worship, sometimes we will be meditating, but even no matter what we're doing, if we're just worshiping, I want you to see what you're singing. I want you to experience it and to really engage. And you guys, you have to make a choice. It's just not going to come on you, especially in the weeks to come. Meditation is a combination of using the imagination, creating emotions of the desired result, and choosing to see the situation through your heart from God's perspective, in spite of our circumstances. It's real key there. We can create our experience with God rather than waiting for something magical to happen. You know what? If I was still at home, I would be in my closet, probably spending hours a day with God, waiting for the anointing so I could go do what I want to do. You know, I didn't ever know till I got here that I could create my experience with God, that I could create the desired result. So, you know, I don't know where you've all come from, but, you know, so much of the teaching has been, you know, people go in and spend time with God, and they come out, and, you know, everybody's had an experience except for them. Well, then you start thinking God doesn't like you, and some people are just more creative. It's an easy thing for me. I can just really go there. But for other people, it isn't. So create it. You know, depending on your behavior pattern, you know, and where you're comfortable, and, you know, just the creativity that goes on, you can create your experience with God. What do you want? What do you want to see yourself do? How do you want to see, you know, from God's perspective, a situation? Passivity is very dangerous within our heart, as our emotions will lead us. If we do not direct them, they will direct us and most likely lead you into an emotional trap that will produce instability. Learn to be a good parent to yourself. Learn to say, I know I'm feeling this way, but this is what we are going to choose. It's almost as if you can talk to yourself, because your emotions can take you right off here. Especially, you can come in and you can do the prayer organizer, you can come in and you can meditate, we can worship, and you cannot connect at all. And at that same time that you're spending time with God, you can be going downhill, down, 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 down. And you can get out of chapel, you can end the rest of your day feeling horrible. So think of yourself as a parent to your heart. You know, don't let it, you know, the circumstances and then the thoughts and then the emotions take you away. Because it will. Okay, John 15:7 says, if you continue, on the first line, dwell, endure, be present in Jesus, and let his word be present, what you desire. And then put a comma. No. present. Be present in Jesus and let His Word be present. And then next line, what you desire, and then put a comma, because I left out a line there. Intend. And the last box there, even crave for. C-R-A-V-E, crave. Okay, be present in Jesus and let His Word be present. What you desire, comma, intend, even crave for, will come into being, brought to pass, and be finished. It will be done with or by you. This tense is an attribute referring to the middle voice, which means the person doing the action is receiving the benefit. It is your responsibility to police your thoughts and emotion and line them up with God's truth. God has done His part. It's up to you to do yours. So in other words, as you connect with God, as you worship, as you open your heart and begin to experience presently God, presently people, I mean, the goal is that, you know, as a group, we can experience something in God together that we can never experience by ourselves at home. And, you know, we all have to choose to participate, to own our own stuff, and to come together. You can feel the walls. Ask some of the students from last year. You can feel the walls. And so, you know, by the end of the year, I would hope that we are so, our hearts are so soft and so open that we just can move. When we come in here for chapel, that it's a pleasant time to move together, loving one another, loving God, and giving our hearts to God and one another. Doesn't that sound fun? The world's dying for it. Okay. Through praise and worship, we will work together to develop your song to the Lord. We will learn to come together in blended praise. We will learn how to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in a group setting with an expectation that God will speak through you for the group as well for personal encouragement. The key here is encouragement. Our responsibility is to build up the body and see one another from God's perspective. It's not about how we see it. It's from God's perspective. Worship isn't about how we feel, but rather our gratitude towards Him for all that He has done and is doing. Praise and worship is a choice, and we will develop a response that becomes automatic in all situations. Being emotionally present is a nice gift to give our Heavenly Father, for His desire for us is to draw near to Him. Remember what I said in the beginning, that if you attempt to do this all through your mind, through your intellect, you're just going to become bitter. Because if God doesn't do what you think you should do and you get into dead works, you're just going to become hard. Give your heart to God. Okay. Guidelines. Are you going to expound on any of this, on the guidelines, Jim? Tomorrow? Okay. It is your responsibility to know all the guidelines. They are all clearly explained in the catalog. And all of these guidelines are given to benefit you by building character, benefit your classmates, by maintaining order, and benefit those you will eventually serve, by developing responsibility and organization in your own life. Okay, the doors will be unlocked by 7:45 every morning. If you want snacks, coffee, or breakfast food, they will be available in the bookstore. Arrive in time to finish snacks before chapel. No food or drinks will be allowed in chapel. Chapel begins promptly at 8 o'clock. Please be prepared to begin, not arrive, at 8 a.m. because being late distracts others and reduces the benefit you will derive from chapel. Review the rules for tardiness in your School of Ministry catalog, and in the event of a tardy, you may be asked to do extra work in order to receive a passing grade for chapel. Remember, even though you are not given a test in chapel, it is a course for which you must receive a passing grade based on participation. This is a date with God. Be excited to meet Him. So in other words, you know what? It's not even an option to try to accomplish anything else but coming and spending time with God. Do we have any questions? Okay.
No food or drinks, does that include coffee?
That's what I was referring to with Jim.
All right, one of the things we want to mention is all students are required to have a prayer organizer for chapel. I don't know if that was mentioned, but you can pick that up in the bookstore, and it looks like this. And this will be your tool for learning to renew your mind and persuade yourself about your new identity in Jesus. You know, Cindy touched on that just a little bit in the orientation, but I want you to understand one of the most powerful things that's ever going to happen to you is when you come to believe the truth, first about who God is, but then secondly about who you are. Every other thing that's going to happen in your entire Christian life will flow out of dead works unless you have an experiential revelation that affects you at every level of your being. I mean, you want to feel like the righteousness of God. You want to think like the righteousness of God. You want everything that you do to come out of the sense of who you are in Jesus. And I cannot emphasize it enough, because, you know, I was communicating with someone yesterday. And this person, I mean, they're not a flake. They're not a bad person. They're just your average Christian. And they were going through some real issues in their life. And I said, well, you know, I said, it's amazing how many people that I deal with throughout life, you know, on a daily basis, and that their problem could be solved. And I just mentioned to her how you can establish a new habit within 21 days. And I said, you know, the truth is you can change anything in your life in 21 days. That's the honest truth. There's nothing in your life that you can't change in 21 days. Truth is, you can change it faster than that many times, but as far as just as long as it should ever take to change anything is 21 days if you do it every day and do it passionately. And I was just talking to her about how that most people, when they get stuck somewhere, they will not do what it takes to come out of it, because what it takes is to change your heart. And so she was saying, man, I just don't know why people do it. I can't understand why people would have the chance to solve their problems and learn that it would be that easy, and they wouldn't do it. And so we talked for a few minutes, and so she brought up a problem. So I said, okay, what are you going to do? And the next 10 minutes was spent giving reasons why she didn't think she could take those steps. But the truth is, we can all take those steps. Now, she was more honest than most in that after we talked for a few minutes, she finally said, you know what? The real truth is, I'm afraid to do this because I'm afraid it won't work. And if it doesn't work, where will I be? In other words, I don't really trust God. And the truth is, most of us don't trust God because we're relating to Him through an intellectual concept rather than an experience in our own heart. And chapel is designed to bring you to a place, if you'll participate and do, you know, follow the concepts of bringing your whole heart and soul and being to bear on the scriptures that you're confessing and meditating and praying, then you will begin to see yourself in that light. You'll begin to feel that way about yourself, and it will become the reality that you experience. All right, we're going to go ahead. Any questions over the orientation for chapel? Yes.
Does the no food and drink include coffee?
Yes, during chapel. No food and drink at all during chapel. During classes, you can bring in something to drink. You cannot bring in food. It is your responsibility to take all of your empty whatever it is out of here. If you spill it, you will not get to bring anything else back in. So guard it well. Any other questions? All right, we got a break before we jump into the first class. All right, everybody ready to do your orientation? We'll get this part of it out of the way, and you'll have a little bit of time for prayer when we finish it. Let me see. Here you go, Ed. You'll need a handout. All right, this orientation, as was yesterday's, is just a fill in the blank, and you can follow along. You know, there's a difference between change and transformation, and it's important that you know that difference. Change is something that happens from the outside. It comes about because of the amount of effort that you put into something. Transformation is something that happens from the inside and happens because you come to believe something in your heart. And change is works-oriented. Transformation is faith-oriented. Change requires a tremendous amount of effort. Transformation really doesn't require any effort to take place. It only requires effort when it comes to changing what you believe. You know, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it says, let us therefore labor to enter into rest. Now, that's a paradox, and as you will find, all biblical truth is a paradox. If you only see one side of a biblical truth, trust me, you don't see it. And you don't know how to walk in it. You can never know how to walk in any truth until you understand and grasp the paradox in that truth. In other words, there are always opposing realities in truth. And it's sort of like walking a tight wire. You know, one of the things you have to be able to do to walk a tight wire is you got to have a pole on each side that holds the rope tight. Otherwise, if it's slack and flopping, you can't really walk on it. And that's kind of the way truth is. The only way you can walk out of truth when you clearly see the paradoxical principles in that truth. So it's really important that you understand the process of transformation. I've been in the ministry 28 years, and I've probably never met more than two or three other preachers that had a clue about the difference between change and transformation. And that's why the church world today is bogged down in dead works, legalism, and bondage. And we're not interested in you changing, in a sense. I'm not saying, now don't get tough on anybody that uses the word change, because you'll hear that word used a lot. But just realize in your mind that when we talk about change around here, we're always talking about something that happens internally. So the next 2 years will be a time of transformation. I've got a tape series I've actually never preached around here. It's called Change, the Pathway to Peace. You know, as much as we resist change, the truth is that's the only way to really live in peace, is to continually yield to those processes. Transformation is the process whereby we become empowered to live our dreams. Now, I want you to realize you are called, the Bible says, to be like Jesus. You're called to become exactly like Jesus. That's what Romans says. Romans 8:29 says that. And I want you to realize that internally, that seed was planted in you. In other words, all that Jesus is was planted in you the day you got saved. Now, where all the transition comes about is as you yield yourself to a process that allows that which is inside you to permeate to the outside, and that happens as you renew your mind. Change the way you think about things. And it is a continuous process. So in a certain sense, we'll use the word change here, even though more technically be the word transformation, but the truth is, from the moment you get born again until you draw your last breath, if you're not changing, you're backsliding. It's that simple. Because this is a walk. Jesus is on the move. We're to walk with Him. We stop moving, He keeps going. We're left behind. We're backslid. And many people struggle with those types of concepts because, you know, basically everybody's looking for a comfortable place that they can just stop. That's what everybody's looking for. I'm looking for a place called there. Well, there's not a place called there. There is no there that you reach and suddenly you're able to stop, you know. And let me tell you something too. Let me tell you something about growth. Growth is a relative thing. You know, we look at certain people and we think that these people, you know, they're spiritual giants or all this kind of stuff. But the truth is, it's all relative. It's all relative to where you were when you started. It's all relative to the particular areas of life that you're dealing with. Because, you know, I know some people that in some areas of their life, they are so developed and so yielded. But I tell you, you touch over into another area of their life and they are so immature and insecure and frightened and all those things. So it's all a relative thing, you know. And there's no way that you can measure your growth by anybody else. And that's my whole point in saying that. You know, the book of Romans talks about people who measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves and all this kind of stuff. And you can't ever look at anybody else and determine whether or not you're in a healthy growth cycle. The only place that you can look to determine if you're in a healthy growth cycle is in your own heart. That's the only place you can look. And in your own heart, to know whether or not on a daily basis you are following Jesus as much as you know how, and you're yielding to whatever new areas of your life that He's wanting to take through transformation. So, transformation is a process of empowerment. It's not really about changing. It's about allowing power in areas of your life. See, any place that you're deficient right now, you think, you know, and you convince yourself and you play these little mind games with yourself where it's like, oh, I need God's power. Well, the truth is, you're resisting God's power. Any area that you're not where you want to be, you are resisting God's power because you are trying to hold on to that area of your life to keep it the same. And you want to keep it the same because you believe that however you're functioning in that area of your life is the way to get what you want. And you believe that's your real pathway to happiness, but it's not. Transformation is the only pathway to real happiness and peace. So, sentence number two, it says, your beliefs will be challenged. Trust me. You will establish a new paradigm of God, faith, and life. And I want you to realize that. What happens, you know, a revelation. See, people think that a revelation is when God shows you something. That's not what a revelation is. Really the Bible is a revelation. Everything we need to know about God is plain in the Bible. All a revelation is when you change your position. See, from this position right here, I can't see that part of the room. And it's because of where I'm standing. You know, we take certain emotional stands in our life, and because this is where we choose to stand, we limit our ability to see beyond certain points. The revelation is not when God comes and shows me something new. The revelation happens when I'm willing to take another stand, change my position, or change my paradigm, and so that from that new position, I can now see different points that I could not see before. You're not waiting on God to do anything. We are not interested in you learning a bunch of information as much as we are interested in you making a lot of major paradigm shifts. Remember the 80-20 rule? See, if you will deal, you know, renewing your mind, and we're supposed to be constantly renewing our mind. Renewing our mind is not so much about information as much as it's about principles and concepts. Learning a new bit of information will affect a minute area of your life. Taking that information and applying it to principles, life perspectives. See, all you got to do is change one concept or one life perspective, and the truth is you can change 100 areas of your life at one time. See, so you want to work the 80-20 rule. You always want to work on the principles more than just the information. But your beliefs will be challenged, and you will establish a new paradigm of God, faith, and life. Now, transformation is painless. And let me just assure you, any pain that you're going through because you're facing something, the only pain that you're having is the pain that comes from resisting the process, the pain that comes from trying to find some way to stay the way you are. The pain does not come because you yield to the process of change or transformation. The pain comes because you are fighting, kicking, screaming, gouging to stay where you are. You do not want to give up your particular point of view your particular position. You know, Cindy and I were talking about the other day, and you'll hear a lot about this in counseling. You'll hear about a lot about it in a lot of different places, but we were talking about how tough marriage counseling is. Marriage counseling is tough, man. You know why marriage counseling is tough? Because people don't come in there to save their marriage. Oh, they say they do. They come here squalling, bawling, telling them how they want to save their marriage. That's not why people come to marriage counseling. People come to marriage counseling because they want to prove who's right. And the truth is, most people, even when they're married to somebody they love, most people will destroy their marriage to prove they're right, because they value being right more than they value having a relationship. And truth is, your need to be right at times will be so strong, you will consider making me your enemy, you will consider making the school your enemy, and you might even consider making God your enemy. If you can hold on to being right. I mean, being right, the Bible says, you know, that all the ways of a man are right in his own eyes. See, we're doing what we're doing right now because, however we're doing it, because we think that's the right way to do it. And because our self-worth is so rooted in being right instead of it being in a relationship with God, then when somebody challenges us in an area that we have to accept that we need change in, it touches the very root of our self-worth, because if I allow myself to change in this area, then I might have to admit that I'm wrong. I might even have to admit that I'm wrong to somebody else. You know, somebody besides me might find out I'm wrong. And you know, that would be such a terrible thing to admit to my wife or my children or my friends that I'm wrong and have a happy marriage. I'd just rather live in hell and keep everybody believing I'm right. But let me, like I said yesterday, let me just remind you, everybody already knows. So you might as well give it up. So transformation is painless. It's that simple process of faith whereby you yield to righteousness, and that's all it really is. You know, the Bible doesn't say to become righteous. It says to yield to righteousness. It's a simple process of faith whereby you yield the righteousness of God already inside you. You change from the inside out by believing the truth about who you are and what you have in Jesus. Change, on the other hand, is very painful and negative. Change is when you try to make yourself be and do what you should be and do, or what you think you should be and do. Change, there's a misspelled word there. Change, by your own effort, is what the Bible calls dead works or being in the flesh. When you are in the flesh, the life of God cannot flow out of you. You're limited to your own ability. And when you walk by faith, trusting God to empower you, the Bible calls that being in the Spirit. Now, you can't be in the flesh and in the Spirit at the same time. It's one or the other. Paul said it this way: I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. That word frustrate means, according to the next paragraph, to nullify, to make void, to set apart, or to neutralize. To nullify, to make void, to set apart, and neutralize. When we try to be righteous by our efforts, we neutralize.